everyone, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. And today I have on the phone with me Tamar Drawn. She is the Chief Executive Officer and Clinical Director at Phoenix Professional Services, LLC, which is located in East Hartford, Connecticut. And Tamar has been a longtime friend of mine, and I want to just give you guys her intro before we get started. Tamar is a licensed professional counselor in the state of Connecticut. She holds her MA in counseling psychology from Bowie State University, Europe, and a BA in psychology from University of Maryland, Europe. She is trained and practices eye movement desensitization reprocessing therapy and utilizes other innovative models such as botanical therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy, and trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. She holds extensive experience in providing direct and administrative services to children and families. While living in Europe, Ms. Drawn worked 2 years as a human resource specialist with the United States Department of Defense and 4 years as a family welfare manager serving military families overseas. Since relocating to Connecticut, she worked 6 years at the Village as an intensive trauma-focused therapist. And in 2004, Ms. Drawn became the sole proprietor with noteworthy success at Phoenix Professional Services. Tamar, this is you?
Yeah.
Yes, I did not know that.
Like, who is that?
That's my friend.
Who that is?
Wow, Tamar, I had no idea that you have so much experience with military families.
Yeah, you know, that's actually like my heart and soul, and I haven't even opened that can of coffee up yet, to be honest.
That's crazy. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for being on Basic Latina.
Absolutely. I had to be. If you didn't come for me, I was coming for you. I love everything that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love everything you're doing. And honestly, I think the last time I saw you was when I was working at my previous job. But for those of you who don't know, Tamar and I used to work at the Village. And I remember just always seeing Tamar. I was so jealous of her because everyone loved her and she was so seasoned. And I was like struggling. I was like, oh my God, this job is so hard. These kids are so crazy. And then she left me and then started her own thing. And I'm like, what the hell?
My bad.
So I was just like, you know, when I heard that you started Phoenix Professional Services, I wasn't even surprised. I'm like, duh, of course. And back then, I didn't know much about you. And I know I've been following your journey for a while, and I cannot believe it's been that long since you opened Phoenix.
Yeah, I think I don't realize it either until someone like you kind of points it out. Then I'm like, oh, wait, I guess, yeah. I've had a hot minute out here helping the children and the families, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I think that it's an important resource. There aren't many, women of color who are, you know, there's a lot of people who have private practices, but you have like a full running machine. And I think that's what I definitely want to highlight today, that you're not just another therapist who has a private practice, who's renting a space, but you have a nonprofit, right?
I have a for-profit.
You have a four.
So I have an LLC. Yeah, I'm actually
LLC. Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually working on a 503C because I've done so much humanitarian work independently from my personal funds and, like, you know, social media help.
Yeah.
So I've actually been working. You know, when you got a big heart, oftentimes when it comes to humanitarian stuff, you work backwards because you're gonna do it no matter what. And right. Then you start to learn about the most effective ways to give. Because I've been giving since forever. From my mother been packing barrels since I was a little girl. So
oh. I remember that you were doing that a couple of years ago. Or you do it every year, I think.
Don't you? Yeah, I was pregnant last year, so I was a little couldn't travel much. So I'm over eager for the upcoming year.
Yes, yes. Well, before we get into all your side projects, tell us a lot about Phoenix Professional Services, what kind of services you provide, and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Phoenix Professional Services is ultimately a clinical firm. Our passion and our direct first heart care goes to outpatient mental health services. this looks like individual therapy, couples therapy, family therapy, any dynamic of individual, whether it's just the individual or them and a family member. Auxiliary to that, there are 7 to 8 therapeutic support services that I am contracted with the Department of Children and Families to execute. Such as therapeutic mentoring, that's a familiar name in a community. There's supervised visits. I have a clinical after school program. There's support staff. There is one-to-one, just an array. I made sure that I you know, tried to get the majority of the contracts that DCF offer, and not even to maximize on, like, financially, but you really can't even care for the kid unless you really engulf all the services that they would need. You know, I don't want you to go nowhere else. It's like a one-stop mental health shop. That's what I'm trying to create. So we have all these services, and then we do mental health. And most recently, we've opened up transportation. So, you know, that becomes like, you know, a real diverse service, because it doesn't particularly have to go to children in care of the state, but it can go to the civilian community as well.
Well, your location is prime as well, because you're right on the bus line too.
Oh, yeah. Early stages, I when I ain't know nothing, I knew location, you know? So finding that property was like, man, divine intervention, because there's a pharmacy across the street. Shout out to Walgreens. Literally 20 steps. The bus stops in front of the building. Shout out to the Transit Authority. And then, you know, the facility is not a facility. It doesn't look like a facility. It looks like a warm, friendly house. You open the door, you're like, does she live here? So, yeah, that's what we do at Phoenix.
I remember when you were posting videos of, like, plants, and I was like, she lives there. I thought you were living there, because I thought that it was, like, a two-family house, you know. Where,
it is.
Well, yeah, it is, technically. And I thought you lived downstairs and the services were upstairs. Because I saw that you were like, oh, well, obviously you're at work, so you're always there, and you had these plants. And I'm like, no, there's that looks like a house. Like, there's no way that that's like.
And, you know, back at the village, my office would look particular in reference to the, you know, traditional setup of the office. I would always take over fully. And I guess, you know, maybe because I did what I had to do clinically, you know, and I was pretty good with some fast-acting interventions, they allow me to kind of make these personal touches without giving me too much noise. But what I did take away from that, first of all, shout out to the village. You know, that is where you get the best of the best training. It's not built for the weak. You're going to get some good experiences. And when you get in there, you're going to know what you want and what you don't want in a little while. So for me, I was able to take things away, like what I wanted and I didn't want. First of all, I wanted to be something like a village, but not as big. Because for me, I felt that the bigger you get, the farther you are away from the actual tangible ability to help an individual. For me. So I just like staying small, staying very intimate. And that's just for me. But what I did take away is, I remember, you remember too, like, kids would just see the facility and want to run for the hills, because it looked like locked doors. It looked like, you know, a hospital. It looked unwelcoming. They're leaving families, dysfunction and all that. But still, they had a living room. They had couches, you know. So that's the type of stigma that I wanted to try to take away, a bunch with a, you know, a bunch of whole other things, but that was one of the biggest ones. And so that's why I'm in a house.
Yeah. And I mean, that was an amazing move for you. But when you first started Phoenix, did it function like just a regular outpatient facility where you were just doing individual and family, and it grew from there?
Let me see what had happened. I got pissed off, girl. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't like what I was seeing. I didn't like how I was feeling where I was. And out of anger, I was like, I want to do this. If I could, I would. And then my anger, it festered so hard that I actually started like asking for things I shouldn't want to ask at work. You know, can I go to the budget meeting? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Why? I don't know. But I think I've, not outmastered, but I know how to ebb and flow out of therapy. The only thing that creates higher learning is wanting to learn different techniques. The method is the same. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted more. I would get into arguments with people who were in leadership positions of, you know, supervisors and whatnot, and was able to execute and almost, you know, like, there's a lot of emotions when you work in a social service setting. And a lot of the times that employees and their supervisors and vice versa go through so much that upper management don't know about that impacts the ability of the clinician to really work. So I was able to kind of stand up to supervisors. That's when I knew that I was, you know, built differently. I was able to say, no, I'm not doing that, and this is why. No, I'm not writing that, and this is why. But this is how I'm going to meet you halfway, but my voice has to be heard. I am seeing this kid. Then I worked on the side. You know, everybody got the side hustle, of course. I was working as a, a contractor doing therapeutic support. Therapeutic mentoring for Radiance Innovative Services. Shout out to Charles Frazier.
What does that sound familiar?
You know him. He's another, I was under him.
He pushed me.
He pushed me. He was like actually one of the first people that said to me, you know, I would write my treatment notes, or I would write my notes. I used to call myself like the pusher, because if he had a kid in a hospital that's been in there for a while and they just don't want to come out, like they have all readiness to come out and they don't want to come out, I'll go in and I would bring the world into their room and then leave them alone and then force them to come out. So I'll be like, I don't know if you, this is like a rap song, it's like, I'm your pusher. So I felt like I was pushing them out of that community. So I was doing that for him. And apparently I was doing it so good that DCF will call and want me to take the case specifically.
Wow.
I was getting overwhelmed because I was getting very involved. I was like a part of the treatment team that was coming to me for personalized, individualized, creative interventions. Like, you know, so I recognized that. And then people just started kind of reading my documentation and coming to me and saying, oh, you should write a book. Oh, you should write a this. So you should write a that. And I'm just like, listen, I'm just trying to make this money. I'm just trying to get this bag. I have a lifestyle.
Right.
But then that anger never went away. And I wanted more, and I wanted to try it my way. And, you know, I had a contract and Mr. Frazier didn't renew it. And the girl needed more help. And a couple months back, I had registered my business actually out of anger, just online. It's really that easy at the click of a finger and some dollars and cents. Hello. Everybody do it tonight.
I started my podcast out of anger / sadness too.
See? And then he didn't renew the case. And because I had already registered my business, I went through like, you know, 30, 45 days of recredentialing, of credentialing with DCF, which is a whole nother, you know, situation. And then I had my first kid, and then it was no middleman.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you started off just like mad, like you said. And then when did you feel comfortable enough from leaving your full-time job? Because I mean, first of all, every single person that I have on this podcast has a full-time job that funds their side hustle that they ultimately want to turn into a full-time job. So you were at the Village, you have this little side thing. When did you decide, like, okay, I need to branch out on my own? I need to do my own thing. Like, when did that moment happen, and why did it happen for you?
So it was the case, you know, that case was up for renewal, and I was the therapeutic mentor on the case. I had the case for like a year. Mm-hmm. And I already had the business registered, and my supervisor at the part-time job at the time deliberately was not going to renew me the case. He wanted me to take it independently. And I took it, but I still was at the Village, still trying to do both. And then I wrote my first proposal. I wrote myself. I put a price on myself and I made an exit plan. I told myself I was leaving. I knew what I had to do. Being a therapist, I could meet you at the library. I could meet you in the community, having a license, as long as you could create, you know, a secure enough, you know, audio-wise environment. Rent a room at the freaking, you know, library. Go to Dunkin' Donuts early in the morning, whatever your client is comfortable for. Then I started doing the mentoring. You don't need a location for that. That's all. I could call you, give you a case over the phone, and you execute it. I meet you once a month. We talk about everything and make sure everything's good. So I was doing things like that, burning myself out at the Village until I wrote a proposal. And the proposal basically was, thank you. I am leaving. I am worried about my clients. And here is my closure plan to support my clients. You know, typically a therapist can give 2 weeks. If you're very, very respectful clinically, you give 30 days. I gave like a 90-day plan, breaking down how I would provide supports to my family, transition in a new therapist, the funds that I needed, how I wanted my exit. I asked for everything under the sun, from gas reimbursement to pay 25% of my cell phone bill. Needless to say, I put everything in there, and they took about 92%. And that's when I knew it was a wrap. Because I was like, I'm just a therapist. A lot of people think because you're a therapist, you can't be a businesswoman. But first of all, they're right. Honestly, for the most part, they're right. But if you could just burst through whatever barriers you have on yourself, you could become whatever you want. You could become 3-4 things. So I had no choice. And apparently it was within me. So when I wrote that business plan and the Village for Family and Children accepted it, I knew I had the businesswoman tool along with the passion and the heart and the skill set. So I've just followed my own 90-day plan and walked my way out and saved a great relationship. They respected me for it. And they're one of my key partners right now. They cut me checks for providing services to their children.
That's amazing, Tamar. But I guess what I'm like was racking my brain is that you are not just like someone who has a private practice. You have this, you have, like you said, a firm, right, that provides services. You're like trying to be a baby, the Village. You know, you're your own
entity. Right. Honestly, to be very, very honest, baby, and I'm baby for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so the goal would be to make pods, baby pods. I'm looking for entrepreneurs that have the same type of drives. You want to do this? Run the Greenwich office. Implement your creativity. As long as we have the same ultimate goal for the, you know, for the forever consistent support of the welfare of humanity progressing, period. So like, that's like how
I, like a regular, you know, any other person out here who has like a private practice like myself, like I'm going to rent out a space and provide these services and I have these clients. And then it grew from there.
Pretty much, with a lot of heartaches, with a lot of blows to the head.
Well, of course.
A lot. But it pretty much grew from there.
Wow, and did you know that you wanted to be, you wanted to be something like the Village and provide all these services. When did that come? Because I'm sure that there's, you know, there's obviously growth for the Phoenix. It's going to keep growing, you know, other location and more services. But at what point did you start providing all the other, you know, 8 to 9 services that you provide?
Right. When I started, I didn't even start off with one. One didn't make sense. One of the things that I do is I attach therapy to everything. Mm-hmm. You having a supervised visit? Oh, to help the visit, you could get therapy for the parents to support them in the emotional reaction in the visit. That's like me telling you, why not be proactive about this? Let's help them. Clearly, they're struggling. That's why they're in this predicament. We're just going to watch them struggle now? In a visit where we're staring at them. So how about we prepare them for this awkward experience? So that's how I kind of do. So I started off with like supervised visits, therapeutic mentoring, and I am the, like, I can applicate therapy, you know, based on how I present it for the individual and their service. So it started off with like 3-4. And then, you know, things just started making sense. You have to follow the shift of the community. What's going on in the judicial branch? You know, next, you know, they might shift from they don't want mentoring right now and they're going into, you know, support services. So then I have to jump on that train while maintaining the other train so that I could stay ahead of the game and not have to credential myself as things arrive. If it's not happening in the community right now, I'm just not using it. The service is dormant. So I started off with 3, and by the next time I took everything, and then I take what I want. I activate the services when I want them to be active, but depending on the season, the mayor, the president, and then I deactivate them when they're not appropriate. So my head is crazy. Yeah.
No, you're so smart. But did you start with just yourself, or did you end up recruiting people from the beginning?
I started with just myself. I will say that I was at the village, and you know, there was a people around me that gravitated to me, and I gravitated to them.
Yep.
And when I left, I was definitely like, "Yo, you want to work for me? Yo, you want to do some mentoring on the side? You like the kid you spend all day with? Just give him 2 hours." You know, so I was like, you know, telling the people that I knew were hard workers what time it was. And I remember one time they tried to put me in an office. I had my own office forever, ever, ever. I do a special type of therapy that definitely can't have anyone next to you or around you or in a shared space. And they attempted to put me in a shared space with like 3 therapists. It was like me and 2 others. Woo, I got out of that.
I remember that.
I got out of that within 7 days, you know, just advocating appropriately all the way to upper management. But the point was, those moments that I had around those women, I was like, hey, girl, you can be whatever you want to be. I was empowering everything. I was like connecting them to me. And then, you know, I still have, you know, great people who came out of there that are still there. Some of my best staff have come from there, and they've done what they've done and provided their service, and they've kind of moved on. You know, there's some ups and some downs too. As you shift and you grow, you outgrow some people, you go through some tough experiences, perceptions are made, and there's really kind of nothing you could do about it, because at the end of the day, nobody knows the sacrifice, yo. Nobody. And I don't got time to explain. I'm on a mission, yeah. And it's bigger than me. It's not even about me.
Tell me a little bit about the mission and where you see Phoenix kind of going from here. What do you want it to grow towards, if you can share?
Yeah. So Phoenix is actually expanding right now. I had a rental property. I started with a rental property, and I've been in it for about 4 years now. And we're expanding to an even bigger house to put the vision together fully. So instead of having a rental property, it would be, you know, better for any business person to own the property that they're in, so that they can utilize it, you know, more long term in the mission of your, you know, company. So I still have to read this because I tweak it all the time, and it is what it is. But the mission statement of Phoenix Professional Services is, at Phoenix Professional Services, we believe in all individuals and families. We believe they deserve opportunities to create new beginnings for themselves and their loved ones. We promote the thought that failure is not permanent and can evolve into new beginnings at any point if the opportunity is seized. At Phoenix, we help seize opportunities for new beginnings, one day at a time and one interaction at a time. So, you know, right now we're really trying to finalize the renovation of the Hartford property that will be the headquarters. Okay. Ideally, yeah, it's so big. It's a beautiful historic property. It was the headquarters for the Aetna ambulatory business, which was ran by two men of color, I would say. That's really not known because they hid under the Aetna umbrella because they knew racism would not allow the business to prevail. Shout out to Aetna.
Right.
Big story. So yeah, we're renovating that property. Honestly, that in itself, you know, I told you personally about some hard experiences with contracting and, you know, really just losing out, been taken advantage of and still staying afloat. And so with all that said, you know, we're looking for another next 90 days to have a soft opening. And what will you see if you come to the soft opening? You may not see the very top floor, which is going to be a residential area for pregnant teens or at-risk youth who may need respite or short-term stay. Second floor would be outpatient offices. We have about 5-6 offices and a holistic treatment room. I do practice Reiki holistic healing as well. And then the first floor, you'll find, you know, large waiting rooms, very family, grandma's living room oriented. And you'll also find, you know, a full service kitchen, double oven, ready for life skills, just complete togetherness and everything that you need to address all the domains of happiness within the individual. So that's where we're going. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of work, long ways to go. I'm tired, but I will sleep when I, you know how that ends.
No, don't say that. You have to self-care and sleep.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 you're right. That's why I have friends like you. No, absolutely.
No, you need to sleep.
No, I am just joking. No. If I didn't have self-care, I wouldn't have made it past year three.
Right.
No way. You don't make it this far by luck.
I know that entrepreneur life will have you staying up for a long time, but as we all know, those long nights are hard. And then they affect, like, you know, for at least in your stages, your beginning stages, in my stage right now, it's hard to stay up if you have like a full-time job to work on your side hustle, because then you're like, not falling asleep, but you're sleepy and you're groggy. You can't, how are you going to be your
right.
best?
You're not functioning well. Yeah. You're not letting out the proper hormones levels. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
But no,
and people have to get reminders because the world is just so busy that we all get caught up and entangled and forget to self-care.
Absolutely. I usually force myself to stop working between 9:30 and 10. Yeah, I force myself to stop working, and I always tell myself this can wait until tomorrow.
Right.
Because I've killed myself trying to stay up to do something, and then I realize, like, wow, I killed myself, and this person is not even responding. Like, you know, you always have to wait for other people to do stuff.
Right.
And then you get frustrated because you're like, oh well, I stayed up to write this or move this around or schedule this or post this, and people are not receptive or responding. And in my line of work, at least, it requires feedback from the public.
Right.
So I always have to make sure that I'm well rested and I'm not killing myself to produce like good content, because I just can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me about because it's been 4 years, right?
I believe so. I think we're about to be 5, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the triumphs you've had, because I've been following you for a while, and I know you had an award. That you were awarded something, which I feel bad saying something because I cannot remember, but I know you had you got an award once for that.
I know, girl, I know.
And
yeah.
So tell me about some of the things that you're most proud of as you became the creator of Phoenix, some of the mm-hmm. amazing things that happened to you the last 4 years.
Well, some of the, you know, I guess awards that I've received since starting the company have been, I've received the award from like International Association of Empowered Women. And that's just, you know, people who recognize the certain level of involvement that you have in the community. In my first year or two, I received the Startup Business Award. from a local community business. And this was just like recognizing me starting up independently in the independent capacity. Then I received most recently 100 Women of Colors. I was a recipient of that award. That's probably one of the most important ones to me because it really highlights, you know, achievement in minorities on a grand scale. And the, you know, the recipients are pulled right from the community. It doesn't have to be some high elite multi-million dollar person. It could be your local, you know, nurse, or it could be your librarian, or it could be your local CEO. So that was back in March. I was interested. I am interested and looking forward to 40 under 40. You know, I'm, you know, quite a bit away from that. Yeah. But I definitely, I'm too old for 30 under 30, but definitely looking forward to that. So, yeah, I mean, I would say personally, though, business, personal advice, growth-wise, what I've received, the biggest thing I appreciate is the, I've learned so much, I would say, about myself and the strength that you didn't know you have, and recognizing like what can happen when you think there's nothing else to do. I've learned how to honestly harness failure and rejection and really turn that into passion. I love igniting passion in other people, and I'm really like enjoying leadership right now, you know, like helping people get along, helping my staff recognize each other's strengths even if they don't like each other's attitude, helping people recognize that your body language and your breathing styles and your eyebrows is not conducive to this team that we're building. I am enjoying that right now. So like all of that exploration of self and the ability to apply it on the mass, like that is like the most amazing thing to me.
Yeah.
Okay. You asking me questions that like only my boyfriend asks me. So I'm sitting back like having a really good talk. I hope I'm not babbling your ear off.
No, not at all. You know, something that I was thinking about in the beginning and I forgot about, now I came back. Why did you choose the title Phoenix? Because I feel like I know the answer, but I don't remember what you said when I asked you this like years ago.
Yeah, I was always fascinated with the Phoenix and the ancient Greek mythology behind, you know, the Greek bird who kind of ignites through its rough experiences only to be born again, you know. So just the continuum of, you know, in our mission statement, we talk about it, seizing opportunities one day at a time, over and over. Like you fail, you blow up, you hit rock bottom, life sucks, then you get up and you do it again. You don't have nothing else to do. What are you gonna do other than live? Let's go. So the Phoenix repeatedly ignites itself just to come back to fight again, and that's the kind of symbolism behind it.
Oh, that is amazing. I've always thought the Phoenix was a powerful animal anyway, so I just figured that that was some, you know, that that was part of, you know, why you named it that. So
yeah, and then the whole, you know, the bird is usually, you know, a very fierce bird, and you know, it can ignite itself, so it shows the sacrifice. And for me, the fire also shows the anger. And then, you know, all of this was made because the girl got angry. The black girl got angry, essentially. So, yeah. So, it's deep for me. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
They pissed me off.
I know, right? I mean, why do people do that? I have no idea. When it comes to your work with Phoenix, now Phoenix is your, not to get like too personal, but for those who are listening to this podcast, because they want to open a small business and they're wondering about how people, you know, like you do this. This is your only source of income, or do you have to do multiple things in order to kind of fund your life? Because you have a family, you have two children. So tell us a little bit about that.
No, actually, Phoenix takes all priority. It is all that I do because there's so many different services
You know, I do have a supervisor of programs, and he is like my right hand. You know, Mr. Victor is great, but him and I still are not enough. So, you know, between the two of us, essentially, we're doing the job of probably 4 or 5 people.
Oh, wow.
Right. And right now, you know, we actually love the grind right now, mm-hmm. but we're also particular in picking the team. We know we need a team. It's not a rush. We've gone through a few. Some stayed longer than some, but not many for upper management levels. And, you know, this is upper management is a sacrifice too. People don't come out of college and want to take, you know, a part-time position that could transition into a full-time and grow with the team and sacrifice for essentially me to take a better care of you financially. If you could make it through the struggle, the goal is for you to be in a supervisory position and for me to recognize what that is, because I, you know, we know what that is. And give you appropriate salaries that are higher than market value, that help you feel better about the morals behind the job that you're doing. So it's like, for me to look for that level of investment in people, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 salaries and health insurance, this one black girl, like, I gotta feel that we are on the same level soul-wise when it comes to humanity. And that's not easy.
That is not easy to find your equal like that.
Mm-mm. And not even, you ain't got to be that equal to me, but the depth and your breath have right. to be powerful.
Now, since you're, you know, and this is something I've asked a lot of people who run a small business like yours, who, if you consider yours a small business, but since yeah. you're the CEO, how much work do you feel like you have to put into Phoenix? Are you doing mostly administrative work? Are you there all day, every day? Are you there late at night? Are you providing therapeutic services directly?
Well, I'm definitely what you would call a worker boss. Mr. Victor and myself, you know, are the only two in upper management. There are times, if needed, that I would take a case. That's not like something that I do a lot of right now. I focus mostly on a 3-day, partial day outpatient schedule. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, I guess, organized with how much time I allot to being a therapist and how much time I allot to being the CFO and the CEO, as well as the clinical director. So, I mean, I'm smart enough to have it to the point right now where I need a day off during the weekday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just had I have a baby, I have an infant. So I take Fridays off. And I've really just structured things around to make sure that I can have Fridays off. What I do get engulfed in is planning and organizing, you know, the CEO parts. Sometimes that takes me late at night after I put the baby down to really, you know, crunch finance, look at profit and loss, you know, look at outstanding billings and advocate for receivables. That's a whole nother story.
Are you living the entrepreneur life where you're able to come and go as you please? So tomorrow, like, people are stressed because they have to vote and they're like, oh, what time do I get off of work? What time do I go in? For me, I would love the luxury to, I think that entrepreneur life means that you can clock in and out whenever you want. So do you feel like you can, like, you know, go do things in the middle of the day if you want to, or do you still feel like you have to clock in and out?
I feel like I don't have to clock in and out, mm-hmm. but I'm very disciplined to know how much of that I deserve. Mm. So I gave myself Friday off. My discipline is until I get to a certain level of goal achievement, then I could get another day off. So now I've given myself more room to sit back and live the entrepreneurial life. But I don't know, because I don't think I would ever not just sit back and at least do therapy. So if the entrepreneurial life could merge into my lifestyle a bit,
yeah,
that would be cool. Leave the stress and the paperwork, but yeah.
Do you have your own therapist? I know you just mentioned therapy.
Yeah, I have actually not a therapist that I'm engaged in with my own.
Okay.
But I have mentors. I have clinical mentors and that I speak to. And if I ever did need a therapist, they would be the one to be like, Miss Tamar, you need to speak to someone. But what I do with them is I do talk about my frustrations or my reactions to the politics around certain things. There are times where I'm emotionally reactive, you know. I'm very empathetic to my population, and it's important that you hold those type of things, you know, grounded so that you could advocate for them appropriately and emotionally. So I have about 2 to 3 mentors in different areas, clinical, mm-hmm. finance, and business that I reach out to regularly.
Do you do anything else to keep yourself grounded and keep your cup filled?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a few hobbies, so I keep up with those. I enjoy them. You know, most recently, I'm into, like, lawn care now that there's this huge property. Honestly, I get a lot of – I get some therapeutic relief out of, like, raking leaves and mowing lawns, but that is still laborious. So some other hobbies that I have is, you know, I shoot guns. I do – I'm a licensed – to have a concealed weapon, and I do, and I like shooting at the range. I like increasing my distance in my target. I like swimming. I like hiking, and I like family. So I definitely make sure I do those things, and I like taking vacations, like mini trips, weekend, something historical, and end with a good nightlife. I make sure I get that, you know. I love to dance. So, you know, at least every other month, me and my partner, you know, we make sure that we go out together, that, you know, make sure we do our date nights and things like that. Oh my God. Yeah. I probably overcompensate just to make sure I'm never in a deficit.
Do the humanitarian efforts that you do for Phoenix, are those extra things that you as Tamar were doing anyway, and you just kind of added on as part of your business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, I used to watch my mom pack barrels with all type of stuff, you know, pantry food, food she bought, things we didn't want to eat, you know, and send it to Jamaica. So, like, as I got older, it was just like, okay, I want to do that too. What is this? So I would do it. So I was doing that right before I started Phoenix. And once I started Phoenix, I recognized I have a bigger platform for donations.
Right.
So I was getting a lot of, you know, clothes and shoes and hygiene products. So, and then the next year it elevated to the dental offices, giving me toothbrush and toothpaste and tooth floss and, you know, writing letters to Walmart and getting, you know, sanitary napkins and hygiene products and things like that.
Right.
So, so I still have a large personal expense with a lot of donation, because, you know, there's so much more that goes on other than handing the people the things in the barrel. There's getting the barrels out there, going to, you know, they're shipping and trading, and that's like a jungle. Receiving your barrels, taxing your barrels, opening your barrels, transporting your barrels from flat land to mountaintops, you know, having the right kind of men with you to travel through these areas. I'm in very hostile and impoverished communities where there is no law enforcement close by, no hospital, no schools. So, you know, there's a lot involved, but I feel a lot of pleasure when I do stuff like that. That's so amazing.
And I think those are the kind of things that kind of keep us going, right? That let us smile at the end of the day and make it all worth it too.
Yeah.
Now, will you be taking any donations anytime soon? Or, you know, is there something I can put on social media to help?
Yeah, I have a few things that are just into planning right now. You know, I have the soft opening coming up in January mm-hmm. to see the new property. I have a community event pending in February, honing in on, you know, self-love. And I'm going to start the humanitarian support in February and March as well to support a back to school event in a Caribbean island for September.
That is perfect, Tamar. Yes, yes. So just let me know all of those things so I can definitely share it with the rest of our listeners.
Absolutely.
Now, when it comes to, you know, I get a lot of questions from my friends who are like, I'm looking for a Black therapist, and I'm looking for a person of color, and I'm looking for an after-school program, and I'm looking for a mentor for my child. So who can refer to Phoenix, and how does one refer to Phoenix?
Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're looking for, you know, the system right now is just in a way where you have to be creative about the service that you want and be creative in selecting your service provider. If you are looking for therapeutic mentoring or any of those credentialing services that I'm contracted with DCF, you would have to be involved with DCF on some capacity. Outside of that, the services per hour are pretty expensive. So, you know, it could be $40 to $50 an hour for someone to pay for a mentor, because that mentor has to be, you know, reimbursed for a little bit of change that he might spend with the kid, or mileage, or just paying him adequate amount of money for him to feel that it's worth his time on top of the service that he's doing. So,
Okay. So the services are definitely a cost. Or does it go by insurance?
We have some services that go by cost. Mental health therapy goes by insurance. We accept Husky, United Health, Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Cigna out of network. So that's a good amount right there. And we're still working on a few, but that's Husky, Cigna out of network, United Health, and Anthem.
Okay. So if somebody wants to go there to see a therapist, those are the insurances that that you take, but then the other services would be a cost.
Right. They are fee for service.
They're fee for service. But if they're under DCF, would it be something different?
Yes, it would be the cost to DCF, which is something that DCF workers, you know, they were looking for services that are diverse and, you know, different, that have the right, you know, relationship building skills. So, you know, they're a great partner of ours, and we enjoy servicing their children, our children as well.
Yes. No, that's very true. Okay. So then, knowing all of that, do people contact your website directly?
You could leave a message on the website. You could call 860-206-7144, press any of the prompts, and just let someone know you'd like to see a therapist.
Okay, perfect. Now, to kind of end, Tamar, I kind of like to ask people some things that are like, I call them rapid fire. I don't do them every time, but I want to pick your brain today for some reason.
Oh, boy.
So what are you reading currently, or what have you read in the past that has made an impact on you?
I'm reading one of my thrifted finds. Yes, I thrift. I love it.
Me too.
Oh, that's cool. The book is called How to Say It at Work. You know, like I said, I'm enjoying leadership right now, but it's also very important to really learn how to help people learn how to be leaders, so that they could put themselves across with the power of words and phrases and body language and communication secrets. So, you know, there's some people that are born with it, and then there's some people that you have to grow that up out of them. So, yeah, that's what I'm reading right now. How to Say It at Work.
How to Say It at Work.
And a book that has been really beneficial. Oh, man. The E-Myth. I wish I would have read that early, before I even thought about a business. It really...
The E-Myth?
The E. Mm-hmm. It's called E-Myth.
Okay.
Yeah, it really just talks about some really good business awareness that you should have in reference to how to run a business, how to think about structuring a business, the key components of business, and really understanding how to treat your employees so that they're happy, And can walk in and what they call the phrase, a push key job, walk in, know what they're supposed to do because it's clear and concise. So that was like a book that was like a bingo a year late, but okay.
Yeah. So the timing was a little off, but you still read it. You still remember it, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, right now, actually, you know, along with that leadership book, because I read like 3 books at a time, mm-hmm. there's transgender sexual identity. I'm loving getting more information on that right now. And then just like adult Asperger stuff. So I don't know if that's like casual read or I don't read like,
I don't think as therapists, we read anything that's really casual.
Oh, I was about to say, I don't read like any novels, romance, sci-fi. I don't read those. I read about people.
I know. I'm trying to read more books that are outside of my realm, you know, that are fluffy and fun.
You're a big reader. I love that. I see. I'm like, she needs to start a reading club. She be having the good woke books.
I know. That's the thing is that I want to start a book club, but I actually read pretty slow. So that's the reason why I don't like co-read or like borrow books from people. Right now I do a book swap with my friend. So her and I, we swap 2 books at a time because she reads like way faster than I do. So by the time that she reads the 2 books, I'm done with 1 and she's very patient. So, you know.
No, I feel you.
Right. And I would love to do a book club where like you read like, you know, a couple of chapters and you meet, but like.
Yeah, and get some tea going. Yeah.
I know. Maybe I should think about that. Maybe I'll do that for like the winter or something. But I used to be a part of a book club and it's pretty fun. Yeah. But you're right. I can't, like, I'm trying to get into this really fluffy book. And I'm like, oh, I'm so bored.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, seriously? No. Like,
give me like the sadness. Give me the real shit.
Give me the problem solving. I don't know.
Exactly. And how has love shown up for you this month so far? Because it's a new month, but how has love shown up for you?
You said love, L-O-V-E?
Yeah.
What does that mean, Amneris?
How has love shown up for you?
I swear I don't understand what that means. How has love shown up for me? When you say that, all that comes to my mind, honestly, is my partner and just how much effort he's putting in the remodeling and his dedication to supporting me. Like that's love.
Why was that so complicated?
Because I was like, is this a business question? Is this a personal question?
It's a personal question.
Oh, okay, girl. Yeah, you know, love has shown up because when you think you have no one, look around. And whoever is there, honey.
Hello, dropping the gems.
That is a team mate. Because
yes, partner.
Yeah, shocking every day. This man has turned into a carpenter. He has turned into a plumber. He has turned into an electrician. He has turned into a father. He has turned into an emotional provider. He has turned into a conduit. So that's how love has shown up. I got a really consistent partner, and I probably would have probably passed out if he didn't say, girl, get up. I know you could do this. Yeah, he's like that. He's, ooh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
I know this is totally like not on topic, but I really do appreciate how private you are on social media about your partner and your family.
You noticed?
Yeah, because you have such a presence already. You know, your presence on social media because people have to, like, they follow you and they look for you because of Phoenix, right? And I know you have a personal page and a private page. I mean, and a business page, but I just, you know, been following you for a long time, and one day I saw you, and then the next day you were pregnant, and then the next day you gave birth. I was like, wow.
Well, you know what? Thank you, because that is not an accident, you know?
Absolutely.
I've grown. I've been through so many different evolutions of self, You know, I used to be very much caught up in social media and caught up in presenting my relationships and, you know, just not quite understanding my worth, I would say. So with knowing who you are, I guess growing into knowing who you are, can I say it again?
Right.
Growing into knowing who you are, there's some type, you start to realize what is important to protect and how to use these tools around us, because it's what's happening. So if I'm gonna use it, it needs to do something productive for my life. But I had to grow into knowing that.
As a wise woman once said, oh,
no, stop that. Look what we do.
Right. Now it's gone to a whole different level. Okay, so Tamar, why don't you tell all of us where we can find you in Phoenix, website, Instagram handles, Facebook, all that.
Okay, yeah, you can find Phoenix on Instagram at Phoenix_Anu. Again, that's Phoenix, Phoenix underscore Anew. Or you could follow my personal page at Golden Girl Tay. It is private. I am very particular. You could try it if you like. It would link you back to Phoenix. Either way, that is how you get connected. And the phone number, if you would like to call in to get a referral, is 860-206-7144.
Great, great. And the website?
I'm so sorry. It's Phoenix. Pro, P-R-O, services.com.
And are you guys on Facebook?
Yeah, we are on Facebook, but I'm not really active on there, and I'm thinking about, like, just taking it down. It's just, like, even just handling your social media, girl, that's where you probably need to help me. It's a lot of things to handle.
Hello. I find myself, I once heard that there's no such thing as multitasking. One thing always has more of your attention than the other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm chronically, quote unquote, multitasking. Like, I'll be eating dinner while I'm trying to draft a post and also, like, write something. I can't. I also heard a quote the other day that says, I have to work hard every single day to get everything done, which sounds like simple, but I'm like, wow, that's how I feel.
But is that how it should be? Like, no.
I don't know, because, you know, with the podcast and the practice and my full-time job, I have something to do every day. Saturday and Sundays is dedicated to my side hustle, doing interviews, editing content, you know, recruiting, networking. That's working to me. I was just in New York at a wellness event. And I enjoyed the event, but I was hustling. I had to.
Yeah, and that's that integrating your entrepreneurial to your lifestyle part that I was talking about. Like, if it works well for your well-being and you're securing the bag and networking, why not?
Exactly. So, you know, it was fun, and I definitely can't complain, but I'm like, ooh.
Right. But even with, like, yeah, I mean, it's just so much to learn, too. And that's probably my problem. I can't. My brain is constantly looking for something to learn. So being able to control that as well is important, because then you're busy creating and not executing. So,
girl, yes, yes. There's so much, Tamar. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Was this your first time being on one on like a podcast or doing an interview for Phoenix?
I was on, I believe, CBS radio, television. Yeah, I had a little interview on the news last year. And I've done one other podcast before. So, yeah, I'm still fresh at it. Probably need to learn to not talk so much, blah, blah, blah.
I see you, girl. I see you doing big things. Well, I'm excited for everyone to kind of hear this interview. And thank you so much again for supporting my vision. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Amneris. And I look forward to seeing what Basic Latina has for the future.
Oh, thank you, girl. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Basic Latina podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You could find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you want to reach us, please do so on Instagram and Facebook at Basic Latina Podcast. Or if you'd like to write us an email with any questions, suggestions, or comments, You can write us in at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. Sound editing for this episode is by moi, and the music is by Chef Dog. Talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.